be prepared to work on it through prayer and through seeking God, to build that ark of presence in your own heart. And that is where God has said that he will specifically meet with you and speak with you. It's an important thing. It's interesting, I'll add on there, they got into a lot of trouble with that ark and lost it. And then King David decided he was going to get it back. So they stuck it on an oxen cart, which was in direct contradiction to the specific instructions of how to carry it. Now, that oxen and the cart was rocking along down the road, and there was a guy, I think his name from memory was Buzi, B-U-Z-I, Buzi? Yeah, I call him Buzi. He ended up as like two pieces of meat ready for the 62nd birthday, isn't it? Yeah. But what happened, that ark on the oxen cart slipped, and all he did was steady it, and he was breached. Breached means from head to toe. You say, that's a little bit volatile. But they were all in disobedience to what God says. And so we need to take all of this into consideration. Be careful how we handle the presence of God. Don't take it for granted. And don't take it for granted. And that cart could be a type, of the modern day church. We like to streamline it. We like to have it gliding along as we would. And that's not quite the way God has told us to move the ark of his presence. And Alex and I were talking about it the other day on a subject not quite related to it, and they who have researched and looked up, and I'm not talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark either, but there's some interesting thought in behind it all, who's found it, who hasn't found it, but I think what you've got to realize, it's not a matter of finding that, and it's a matter of realizing that's where God said he will meet with you, and you've got to pursue that fact in your heart and through prayer, and he will meet with you there in the supernatural realm. Shared a little, didn't we, on the life of Ezekiel, and we've got a long way to go. We've talked about the specific date and timing, and I guess that's the time where God was starting to deal with him. And you might say, oh, I don't know in my life if I can pinpoint that. Well, I would tend to say it may be time in 2020 today to do a computer reset and say, well, I'm going to look at that, and perhaps it's reset time. He was also camped by the river, which we talked about, and we spoke about streams and rivers and wells last week, and they do have significance in the Word of God. And again, we were talking about the river of his presence, and signifying God's poured out blessings and grace. And he knew the day and the time and the month. He knew the river. And I wanted to have a look at one other section today quickly, which is quite interesting. He went on the same verse. Yeah, there you go. 30th year, fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. I can talk a little bit about those visions of God that he saw. I was pondering the message, and it was possibly a colony of captives, a colony of them. And I'd have to say it would have been quite a few of them. Ezekiel himself, you might ask the question, why was he picked out of that colony to get this special treatment? And perhaps no one has a specific answer to it, something for us all to ponder. But as it said in the scripture there, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. And I'm going to say over your own lives, heavens must be opened by God, by God's gracious will. Spiritual things can only be seen by the enlightened eyes of spiritual man. Enlightened eyes. So those heavens that we talked about truly have to be opened by God over your life. Now, unfortunately, we kind of get ourselves in a church atmosphere and churches, and people say, I saw this, I saw that, I saw visions. And sometimes I would have to kindly sort of say, I wonder if it was really, truly a vision from heaven. Was it God? Because the outcomes would be different. I grabbed these off the shelf as I finished this off yesterday. And there are a couple of books, and they're out of print now. And the one on the top there, I looked and saw mysteries. And it's Annie's vision and multiple visions as told to Dr. Miller. Annie was on the streets of Argentina, and knew nothing of the Bible. Nothing. And she couldn't tell you what the first book was, and she couldn't tell you what the last book was, and she couldn't tell you the difference between the Old and New Testament. She was basically illiterate. And Annie was adopted by the Millers, and she now lives with her husband Ken Scheisler. And Ken Scheisler is a son of old Pastor Scheisler, who was Papi Miller's, or the Millers' closest friend. It was a sort of a marriage made in heaven, and they actually pastor a church in Uruguay. And these mysteries that Annie, they were so profound that they were written down and recorded, reigning with Christ, those who changed garments. And it's kind of amazing, but a lady in California got these books, and it changed her concept of God. See, we have concepts of God. We've been brought up with concepts of God. And I suppose one of those concepts is, say your prayers before you go to sleep. And, you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. However, you start reading this and you start to say, that doesn't fit my concept of gentle Jesus making decreed destruction, the floor of the house. And you go through and you've got to be careful that what you see and what you don't see may upset your concept of God, the concept you have. And at any rate, Annie and her husband, they pastored this church. That's probably God calling Robin. They were challenged to go to Uruguay, which is just over the bay. A lot of people say near, we say in the English Montevideo, but it's Montevideo in the Spanish. And it was one of the hardest or hard countries to really make an impression if you're an evangelist. And they went there. And then, at any rate, Dr. Miller went over there with his wife, Eleanor. And they would do church. And then when church finished, they'd go out in the car park. And the guys would be out in the car park fighting, fish fighting. The church bit would be all right, but there'd be a brawl out in the car park every Sunday. And they didn't know what was going to happen. So Mrs. Miller Sr., Eleanor, started to pray. And her prayer was, Lord, will you show these men a vision of hell? And that dear sweet lady, I only saw her once, prayed that until these men started to get visions of hell. And boy, did things change. Sundays came and the doors almost came off their hinges as men, mainly the men, came running into church screaming and crying because they'd seen their eternal destiny. They'd seen hell. It was the real deal. God had opened the heavens over that church and over their lives. And I suppose you might say it's not a really good outcome. It's not a nice thing to pray over people's lives. But I guess the church changed. There was a renewal, there was a revival, and it's got to be a better outcome than having a brawl in the car park each week, which was happening there, and they weren't gaining any ground. Any rate, we've got to take on board the fact that there's natural visions and there's supernatural visions, and the supernatural ones are where the heavens are opened over your life. And it's not restricted to ministers, it's not restricted to pastors or whatever title, but it can be done, and it's open to all who will seek God hard enough and persistent enough and say, Lord, it'd be a good prayer. Will you open the heavens over my life? Don't have to go much further than that. Please open the heavens over my life. And if you've ever been in an open heaven, you'll certainly know the difference. There's an area in Peñol Park in Argentina, which was several acres. At any rate, in that several acres, do you know what? You could lean up against a tree like that, and as you just started to glimpse to heaven and seek the Lord, and it was an open heaven over that entire complex that had been there. It was wonderful, it was glorious, it was beautiful. But it's not necessarily for Argentina. It's not necessarily available for another country. It can be here and it can be with you. I guess what I'm saying is the heavens can be open and man or woman can truly know and understand their Creator. Trav, can I have that other scripture out of Revelation, please? The Apostle John relates his vision of God. He's relating a vision of God, not a concept of God. And there we go. And that's the dear and beloved John talking and speaking there in Revelation. And he who sat there was like a jasper. And I'll use the word sardius. Some translations use sardine, and I'm not talking about a little fishy in a tin. Just depends on the translation, but that's sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Jasper in New Testament days, listen to this, was believed to pull out poison from a serpent's bite. Now have a look at that, and he sat there was like jasper. Don't push it along too fast. It was believed in New Testament time it would pull out serpent's venom. And the I will use the word sardine or sardius stone, was fully transparent. You've got to realise they didn't have terminology like glass or whatever. It was fully transparent. And so that's where that comes into play. In other words, there was no flaw in it whatsoever. Symbolically, John was then shown the purity and holiness of God. This is a man receiving a vision. And here's a vision that's got teeth and bite and direction and purpose for us to marvel at. He was getting a vision of the purity and holiness of God through that sardine stone and that jasper, as we now know, symbolises the power to pull out and destroy the power of sin. There's the venom. It's quite amazing. There's the venom. That vision lifted what Ezekiel had, and there's quite a lot on those visions which we're not going to do today, but lifted Ezekiel out of slavery to become a great prophet over Israel. The other interesting thing is no one will receive the same vision. Alex might get a vision, but I won't get exactly the same vision. Will never be. There's sort of examples of that. Two great preachers. Wesley was one, Whitfield was the other. And they had two visions. Both the visions were of God, but they were slightly different, and they never agreed. And it wasn't till later in their lives, that they agreed to disagree. And they became dynamic and beautiful preachers, and had different emphasis in different areas. But there was a tiny stage there in their lives. They were a little bit testy with each other. But the visions were right. And we've got to realise that our visions will be different. And because they don't necessarily agree with my vision, doesn't mean to say they're wrong. That vision, as I said, lifted Ezekiel out of slavery and he became a great prophet over Israel. And it was some important time in his life. Got another scripture here, please. Something to grasp a hold of. As I said, I wouldn't sort of work you overtime today, other than get you thinking about these visions. And this is life eternal. Gets you working overtime. I guess what that's saying is not running out the front of it at the end of a church service and praying a sinner's prayer. It says that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. It's all about taking that on board and knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ. And if you start to grab some of those principles, and if you start to go home from here and say, Lord, will you open the heavens over my life? I don't deserve it. I don't want to take any shortcuts. Just be warned and be careful. He might start showing you some things that you don't want to see and that you might have to deal with and attend to. But it's better that you and God deal with and attend to, and it comes the other way. We could start praying, but we won't. Like Mrs. Miller, will you show everyone a vision of hell? Apparently some of these men in Uruguay woke up with demons dragging them into the pits of hell. They became some of the greatest Christian men in Uruguay and pastors, based on that simple prayer. And as I said, I'm not asking that to be done. I'm asking the very opposite. Lord, will you open the heavens over all of these lives? And it would be my greatest joy that you begin to truly live under an open heaven in your individual lives, under an open heaven. Travis, can I have a song to pray us out? Play us out, pray us out. Share bottles.
Tim's side to the one who beat Scotland by 26 points at the weekend.
I think what Wayne will be trying to do is change their culture, change the way they play.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
I obviously think it's
the sun comes up, it's a new day dawn.
to sing your song again.
Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the for my heart to find.